5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Always a good little strike of the ego, that one, Bill.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Glad you said ego.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M. I feel good.
Ah, beautiful day, of course. Welcome to the Rush Hour with Billy Brownless and Nicholas Revolt.
Hello, Billy.
How are you going today?
Good, good. So we were sick early in the week, Bill.
Yes, but you bounced back.
And then the kids were sick. Oh. So we finally got all the kids back to school today.
And
celebrating, amazing, high fives, man, Kath, unbelievable, got our lives back. We get a text from the school, like a group emergency text from the school.
No.
A truck driver, he's hit a fire hydrant outside the school. Oh. They've had to turn all the water off, which means no toilets for the kids.
Oh.
Come and pick your kids up from school, Bill. We just got rid of them.
Oh, no. So you were having a lovely lunch with Kath today and maybe a bit of a rendezvous?
Well, what, a catch-up, a rendezvous? What's the afternoon session? A matinee?
And you get the text from emergency text.
Emergency text. Wow. Come and pick. Yeah, well, it's hardly really an emergency. Like they might be busting to go to the toilet, but it's probably not. Yeah.
Oh, interesting times there. Yeah. And a bloke who didn't go to school. G'day, Rabsy.
Ablett somehow has found some space. At the last minute, Zach Dawson spills it. But a clever soccer by Scarlett to Ablett from 18 metres. He drills it long to the tip of the goal square. Big flyers wanted. Farco.
Champion.
That ball's over. It's a snap. Ball Chapman. And Chapman's kicked the goal.
Oh, really? Rui, remember that?
He made me play that.
Did he?
Rui, remember that? Chapman snap. It's a goal.
I remember.
Should have got the Tom Hawkins snap out. That would have been better.
If he told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it, Rabsy?
Yeah.
Stand on your own two feet, mate.
It was only a little. Look,
don't let him bully you into it.
Geelong people like hearing that. Chapman. What about that, the toe poke?
Yeah.
Gaz a
shit. What about Scarlett? So I played on Scarlo very, very rarely, but had just so much respect for the way he went about it. But he was always a player that you love to hate him because he was, you know, he was a bit niggly and scraggy.
He was.
Anyway, I was in New York not long after that grand final. I had a missed call from a number I didn't know then checked the message, you know, later on that day. It was bloody Matty Scarlett. He'd seen me walking down the street and just left a message to see if I wanted to have a beer.
He's different.
I was catching a plane and we didn't end up catching up. But
sure. You're there for the next 3 weeks.
Not what I would expect, Bill. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Exactly right. I remember Dennis Cometti telling us once. He was in Perth in his home and Scarlo and his mates were across the road at a party. Scarlo knocks on his door and says, "G'day, Dennis, you want to have a beer?" Dennis, what's going on here? He's a different cat, our boy. Oh, geez, he can play. He's a superstar, man. And he looks skinny, and you thought you'd push him off the ball. Speaking of that, day two of practice games trial games or whatever you want to call them. First of all, Carlton took on Essendon today and a nice win by the Blue Baggers.
Yeah, well, big raps this year or big pressure, I would say, on Carlton. So they've gone out, they've recruited. There was a passage of play that would have had Blues fans salivating.
Who was
it? Saad running off half back, couple bounces through the middle, long to full forward, Cripps. Big
Cripps.
Clunk out of the square. So some nice signs for the Blue Baggers. Harry McKay's one that a lot of people have got a lot of expectation on this year, particularly with Curno going down. How do you go, Bill?
Curno?
No, Harry McKay.
He rolled his ankle.
He hurt himself.
Yeah, he rolled his ankle, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Were you only half listening then?
Yeah, I was. keep going.
I'll give you the whole thing.
On the Essendon side.
Well, Zach Williams was the other player that they recruited. So they got Saad and Williams.
Where did he play?
He played through the midfield, which is, that's why they recruited him. He starred through the midfield for the Giants a couple of years ago. So they look good, Blues. They look good.
All right, Essendon.
Yes.
Alec Waterman. From former, I think he was West Coast Eagles, Alec Waterman, kicked four goals, but he's not on their list yet.
Well, this is what Crocker did the other day, Bill.
He did, you're right.
He bobbed up and he kicked the four. So all you can do is throw your name in the ring, and that's the best way to do it, to actually get out and show the guys that are making the decision on that last list spot that you can play footy. So good on Alec. Hopefully he gets a tick of approval and gets a spot on that Bombers list. And good to see Hurley, Michael Hurley, get back down around his teammates. He's had a shocking run, old Hurls.
Well, and he's on crutches walking around, but good to see him there. They had five first gamers for the Bombers. Caldwell, who I like, is a very good player.
Ex-Giant.
And Nick Hine from the Saints, speedy. Yes. Big 2 metre Peter. I think he kicked one or two goals. And there are a couple of top 10 draftees. Nick Cox, who's, I think he's 200 centimetres, isn't he? And plays on the wing. And Archie Perkins, which is a great name. So that's good.
Good.
Good little hit out for him.
Yeah, and then the other game, of course, was St Kilda playing North Melbourne out at Arden Street. We love getting back to the old grounds, Bill, back to Arden Street and these places. And it was a big win for the Saints, which you would expect, I think, given their form last year and the fact that North Melbourne have got a lot of kids and a new coach. Yep. And Jack Higgins, he kicked a goal in his new colours for the Saints within the first 20 seconds, Bill.
First 20 seconds. How good is that?
Nice way to endear yourself.
Set up
your teammates.
A couple too, you told me.
He looked good, young Jack Higgins. And Mason Wood playing against his old side for playing for the Saints.
Saints.
He kicked a few. He looked pretty good as well.
Well, he can look good at times.
He can
look very
consistency
good.
Consistency is going to be his issue. Yeah. And Jack Zeeble played down back. So they've tried him forward last year for periods, you know, deep out of the square and through the midfield. Really played well down back. So,
oh, good. So that's a good win there by the Saints. Also,
I think Joshy Battle might have kicked a few as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
Battle it out. Should have known. And of course, the cricket, the 2020 cricket in Dunedin, in New Zealand. We won the toss. The Aussies won the toss and elected to bowl, which is, you hardly ever do that,
do you? Never do that.
Supposed to hoop it around. They didn't hoop it around too much because New Zealand made 219. They smashed
them. Big score. Small ground.
Yes.
Little postage stamp ground. But that is they're in good form, the Kiwis. And I tell you, who's not in good form, Bill?
Who?
That's our man, Finchie.
Finches. Out for 12. Yeah. Caught on the boundary.
And a gross 12.
A gross 12.
Gross 12. It was a very, 12. Well, he chewed up balls. So he was. You could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to, you know, really battle his way through it. But when you're chasing 220, it's not ideal. So he's under a bit of pressure.
He is. And I'll tell you what, unchanged side. I reckon there might be some changes to this Australian side now. Rabsy?
We got a massive show today. What's trending unusual, including a real weird story about a shark.
Yeah,
Mark Brayshaw is also going to join us. He's the outgoing CEO of the AFL Coaches Association.
What's he doing?
He's got a brand new venture.
Righto.
So you'll find out
about
that.
A work adventure?
No, he's got a brand new venture.
A new venture.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you got a joke to wrap up a show, which is going to be great. Maybe even a couple. We don't know.
Sharpen up.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. On the brand new listener app and on your radio, this is the Rush Hour with Nick Revolt and Billy Brownless. And coming up very shortly, the brother of this man. Mark Brayshaw, the outgoing AFL-CA CEO. But before we do all that, it's time to learn what's trending.
Yay!
Nobody has their finger on the pulse quite like Billy Brownless.
Now, what are we doing?
This is the Rush Hours. What stories are trending today? Unusual.
I hear that every day. What are we doing? And it's funny every day.
Funny
every
day.
Every day.
Why? Why is that funny? Well, this is trending, and this is a very good segment. Have a listen to this, Nicholas.
Yes.
A mutant shark with a human face has been found by fishermen in the Indian Ocean.
A mutant shark.
Like Sharknado.
So this bloke, old Abdul, he was out fishing out there. He's an Indonesian fisherman. And he was out there fishing. And he caught a big shark. Not as big as the one that you catch down Tassie way.
Yes,
he caught this shark. He split the belly of the mother shark and found three pups in the stomach.
That's what you call a baby shark.
Yeah, pups.
A pup.
Yeah, there you go. You've learned something.
Thank you.
Two were like their mother, and the other one looked like a human, had a human face, and actually, Rabsy, come out singing. Come out singing this. Can you believe that?
It makes me feel crooked, this song. Have a look at this photo, Bill.
It does.
You are spot. It looks like a half shark, half human.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
That'll be trendy.
Unusual, Bill.
Very unusual. What do you got?
We're going to put that up for people to have a look at, Rabsy.
Yeah, we'll chuck it up on our Twitter page. That's Triple M Instagram.
That's a bit weird.
Where you live. Listener. Yeah.
That's a bit weird. Hey, weird. Got one for you. So some of the trending unusual themes are, you know, funny or, but this one's a little bit serious, Bill. The Camogli Cemetery in Italy on the Italian coast there near Genoa, built more than 100 years ago, hundreds of coffins, Bill, have ended up in the sea after a landslide in the, you're right, mate?
You're right. I was just coughing.
Oh, no. You've got one, for every occasion.
Just into the mic as well, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was actually.
And just derail me. 200 coffins have fallen from the cemetery, Bill, into the sea.
Because they're right on the coast.
Right on the coast, along the cliff.
Jeez.
Which is probably not, I don't know if that's a great spot to build a cemetery. Well, it was built 100 years ago. They might not have had
The sea was probably still there 100 years ago.
Well, you're right. Yeah, I don't think it's changed too much.
The cliff was there. Even the cliff. they're stiff, isn't it?
That's unlucky.
I tell you what else.
Go again. What else? Can you squeeze another one in?
I'm just trying to think of one. I can't. But what about Brisbane has been given the green light for the 2032 Olympic Games? Well, they haven't. They've got to actually win the games.
They're the preferred
venue, option. Yes. Exactly right. Now, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but 2032, like that's 11 years away.
Yeah.
Who knows where we'll be or if we'll be on the planet, to be honest. That's a long, long, long time away.
Well, they got to plan these things, Bill.
Well, they've got everything up there in Brisbane, haven't they?
Wow. I reckon they use things like this to go and build more infrastructure. Yep. Like you said, it's 11 years away. I reckon they'd want to, you know, clean a few things up and build some stadiums. Don't they want to replace the Gabba for the footy? Isn't that?
I don't know, but I just thought that. Wow, they're getting all excited. It's 11 years away, but good luck to
Brisbane.
When did
they make the Sydney announcement?
93, so 7 years.
7 years.
Sydney. Is that what you said?
Sydney.
Oh, righto.
The winner is
Sydney.
Juan Antonio Samaranch.
That's him.
Yeah.
Juan, is he still with us? No,
I don't know.
The winner is Sydney, Australia.
How are they sure it was Sydney?
Where else do you reckon he said?
Oh, it could have been anyway. Anyway, that's another magnificent trending unusual segment.
Yeah. Well, speaking of unusual, I don't know half the things you just said then. That was quite unusual, Bill. But your quotes coming up next, they've been pretty prophetic this week, haven't they?
No, they've been good.
Time where we get deep. Well, we don't get deep, really, but the big man to our right and to your left gets deep.
Nailed it. Preach, Bill.
Gather round to hear Wisdom Brownless. It's Billy's quote of the day.
If it's important to you, you'll find a way. If not, you'll find a excuse.
That would be an excuse.
Or a excuse.
Yuck.
But that's true. Another prophetic one.
If you just learned that word.
Yeah, I did.
Absolutely
I like it.
Prophetic.
I like it. Absolutely.
Hey, joining us on the show next is a Brayshaw, not JB, but Mark Brayshaw, the outgoing AFL-CIO CEO, is going to join us because he's got a brand new venture as well, Bill.
Has he? Let's talk to him about it.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Bill?
Oh, there she is. Oh, she puts tingles down my spine, Nicholas.
that's a face I never want to see again. The one you just pulled.
That's a Rush Hour Triple M. Nick Revolt and Billy Brownless. It's been 6 months on the Rush Hour. We thought we might as well get a Brayshaw back on the show.
We're very excited because tonight we're speaking to Brayshaw.
Yes!
James.
Jimmy. Angus Brayshaw.
Andrew.
Ian Sticks Brayshaw.
Oh, it's better than all of them. It's the AFL Coaches Association boss.
Man, he missed his own 50th.
Because he's too crook.
He took off from the night before and didn't attend his own 50th birthday lunch in San Francisco.
We'll never let
him.
Is that
what he did? That he planned for 6 months.
Please welcome Mark Brayshaw.
Our favourite Brayshaw. 32 games with North Melbourne, by the way, and has been the CEO of the AFL Coaches Association for 6 years. Maybe and is moving on. But, Mark, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Yeah, very funny thing. Nice to be here, gents. And
I remember that 50th because I saw you the night before. Oh, you were struggling.
It is entirely his fault. I remember somebody said, I think your brother's had enough to drink. And he said, no, he's all right. And I drink like a budgerigar.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. And then it was Ned Kelly. Glenn, the great Glenn Archer, yeah, bought me a beautiful gift. I just couldn't. Oh, God, I was so ashamed. And now everybody's heard it. Oh, goodness me.
Should have seen him out the front of this joint. Anyway, Marco, welcome.
keep it professional, Bill.
Exactly. 18 coaches you look after and all the assistant coaches. Mate, it's been a bloody tough year the last year, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, we started with 180 roughly and we ended up with 120.
Jeez.
So one in three didn't make it through COVID. And you guys know this it happened in pretty much throughout footy departments as well. But my remit as coaches say, yes, it was difficult. The good news is, horrible actually. Yeah. The good news is of those 60, give or take, 90% have found another job, which is a wonderful, is great for them. But it also just reinforces what I've always suspected. And that is that coaches are very good leaders and have got transferable skills. So most of them have found their feet, and we've had a bit to do with a handful of them, and we're helping those that are still looking, but it was a really, really tough year.
And those 180 jobs that are now 120, so that's a big reduction, you know, third coming out. Coaching jobs are really coveted, and is that part of the role of the Coaches Association then? So like players, when they finish and can get a little bit lost, is to actually go out and actually place them and help them find a gig?
So it's cradle to grave, Nick.
Right.
We have a little bit to do with the pathway to try and convince players and women and Indigenous, all sorts to develop a pipeline. The lion's share of our work is when the coach is a member, and then critically afterwards. So, yeah, we have a very important role, because a lot of these coaches have never put a CV together. I don't understand how the market works. They feel a lack of confidence at that time. If you're interstate, you're unaware of what might be going on back home. We have a very important role. In some cases, without it, they wouldn't have got a job, and in others, they deal with it without our help. But, yeah, it's absolutely critical, what we call transition. And we look, a lot of what we say is, you've got this natural skill set that's transferable, but it'll be a hell of a lot more transferable if you can commit to doing some sort of study or a course or teaching or management or something or other. And there's some great stories about how that complements them as a coach and gives them a really good chance for a plan B afterwards. So
just how difficult is it for the coaches, and particularly the senior coaches when they're in it? Because you could mount an argument that aside from the Prime Minister, the people under the most pressure and public scrutiny in this country are the 18 AFL coaches. Is it almost buyer beware for some of these guys when they're getting into it?
So it's a really good point. I mean, first of all, there's 18 clubs. The four in the north have got a very different stress, index, if you like, than the 14 in the south.
Yep.
And then the four in the west are particularly, stressful. So, I remember talking to Woosha, who John Walsall was our chairman when I first got involved, and he said, the message we need to give is, be careful before you get your first job, because it'll probably be your last. And I look at Bruce Arians. I mean, I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, and Bruce Arians coached the Bucs to a Super Bowl last month. The Bucs have been a perennially poor team. He is a 68-year-old man who's been coaching for 45 years.
Mm.
And the difficulties that our game faces is we don't have a high school or a college pathway that they do. But in my view, the stress that our coaches are under is no different. You're a human being, you've got wives and children and so forth. And so, it's a buyer beware is a really good expression, but you can't hold a young coach back because they feel as though this is their one chance. And I remember talking to a coach who said to me, put together a checklist and give it to everybody. So these are the questions you need to ask before you take a job, because 99 times out of 100, the applicant will overlook all sorts of shortcomings because this is his big chance, and it's sometimes it doesn't work out very well.
What did you say to David Noble?
So Nobes is, look, he's a great example. I'm sure he observed how well Chris Fagan did.
Yep.
55 or so years on the clock. Nobes is exactly what the industry needs, an experience. He played two forgettable games at the Lions, so he wasn't a great player.
That's a good rap.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, he's certainly not a household name as a player.
No.
But he's got life experience. He's brought up a family.
Yep.
He's been in and out of all sorts. Fags had time at the Demons, at the Hawks that were good and bad, down in Tassie. Rats is another example. Been around before, and he's going to be much better the second time. So I think that hiring David Noble at North was a great decision. Now, of course, he's still brand new, and North people shouldn't forget that. But he's been around the block a lot more than many of the others.
6 years as CEO of the AFL Coaches Association is Mark Brayshaw. You're moving on, Mark. Tell us, what can you tell us about that?
So last year I invested in a company, 11 Health as its name, that's in a medicinal cannabis startup. And ever since I announced that I was going to become its CEO, what has astonished me, Billy, is the number of people who are taking it.
Yes.
Including my brother. He said to me his GP put him onto it, and little brother, that is, over in the West. And so it's
the other brother's on something else. But anyway, keep going.
It surprised me. Maybe it's just my little sphere of influence and friendship group, but a lot of people are on it.
Yep.
I've done a lot of research, and, we're interested in people that are suffering from chronic pain, and there's a hell of a lot of them. And I think it's going to be a good day's work, and I'm very excited about this new industry. So look out, 11 Health, and I can't wait.
So this has been the case in some American states for a long, long time, Colorado and California. Medicinal marijuana has been accessible there for a long period of time. Why are we so far behind in that space?
Well, I think there is, first of all, it dates back to the ancient. I read somewhere that the people have been using cannabis for medicinal purposes. It predates writing. So the ancient world was all over it. Look, clearly it was demonized with recreational usage. But I think those days are moving on. I mean, the people that were taking it at Woodstock are now a lot older and suffering all sorts of pain. And I've watched and learned about the applications in autism and epilepsy and so forth. And, you watch some of these documentaries. And by the way, I'm by no means an expert.
Mm.
And you've got to see your GP, and it doesn't work for everybody. But there's anecdotal evidence that people are saying there's a lot more to it. And if it was good enough for the ancient civilizations to use it for medicinal purposes. We are going to get trials. We're going to rely on the science, not just the anecdotes. So it's a long-term play we've got. But I've just been astonished at how many people have got an open mind to it, and I think we're rapidly catching up.
No, I think you're spot on. Former athletes, especially Roo, wouldn't know, or some of those.
There's some sore boys out there that would be seeking some real relief.
Yeah. We look forward to talking to you about that, Mark. Now, have you seen your brother James? Because he finished up here grand final day. He starts again apparently the March the 15th, I think it is. That's a nice, nice long break, and we have not seen him at all.
I thought I was coming in for one day, Mark. Yeah. I've been here for 2 weeks, and we've got two other blokes filling his role as well.
Well, I have. He lives around the corner from me. What happens if... credit where it's due. He's got a half-decent wine cellar, but he's one of the most, for a flamboyant guy who takes himself seriously and looks good and all that, he's a real line and length chef,
yes.
Barbecue, meat and literally is meat and potatoes, sausages and that. So I have seen a bit of him, but only when he comes around to my joint, because I got all the barbecue genes, in the family. And seriously, he brings this wine. You go to his joint, and it's very basic. So he needs to be... Needs to be okay, but it's, as I said, he comes to my house more often than I go to his. Yeah. But in fairness, he does bring some good wine with him, which makes the night even more enjoyable.
He does love his wine. He'd be with Bluey or Punter. He likes to put those Instagram shots up. Oh, come on, Jim, you flog. Tell us about his first day at school, young James.
Poor James. Look, he pooed his pants, Bill, on his first day. And spare a thought for me, because he was my little brother at that day. And, I mean, I was a vulnerable seven-year-old at primary school in Perth, and my little brother's pooed his pants, and the word got out. So, in fairness to him, school wasn't great, but it didn't get off to a good start.
Did he carry a nickname after that?
In the introduction next time.
We'll keep that little audio bit for his first day, I reckon.
Yeah, there you go.
Good on you. Hey, well done, mate.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark.
Outgoing AFL Coaches Association CEO Mark Brayshaw there. Bill, your joke to wrap up another show is coming up very shortly. Ooh. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour with Nick Revolt and Billy Brownless. On tomorrow's show, former NRL star and now host of The Amazing Race Australia, Bo Ryan is going to join us.
Good boy.
He's good, a good boy.
And funny man.
He's funny.
I like him.
He's a bit mad.
Bit mad.
Yeah. We've got some trending stories as well. Are you in the studio tomorrow, or are you going to do it from GTA?
Yeah, no, I'm coming up. I'm going to come up because I like spending time with Nicholas, and he likes spending time with me.
I do.
Well, he's been good this week.
Love it.
It's his second last show today.
Well, is it? Not forever.
Not forever.
For the week. No. Who's on next week?
Your mate, the Greek Wombat.
Oh,
Joey Montagna.
Well, he's Italian.
I know, which just makes it funnier. Because yeah, didn't I think BJ Gotto called him the Greek Wombat during a basketball game?
I'm not sure if BJ should be dishing out nicknames.
No, exactly right.
Pretzels.
Well, we're not sure. we're not sure that Billy should be dishing out jokes, but he continues to go with them.
In the day with a laugh, this is Billy's joke.
We got a sponsor? No. Yeah, the St Kilda Life Saving Club. We'll give them another shout out.
Oh, good work. Well done to the St Kilda Life Saving
Club. All volunteers as well. Mm. Mm,
exactly right. Hey, just a quick little one here, topical. Yeah. Why did Tiger quit golf? Lost his ability to drive.
Oh, jeez.
Bill, what did you just... You lost your ability to say ability.
Oh, comes no. to mind. Yeah. Too soon.
Do you want to go with another one? Or
yeah,
you...
but that's just a nice little one.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's not.
He's probably never going to play golf again.
It's just a bit soon.
Yeah. I was woken up last night at 3 a.m. Yeah, I was just woken up.
Yeah, right.
In the new house, and I get woken up at 3 a.m.
Yep.
Guess who? The next door neighbour in a very revealing lingerie.
Ooh. Mm.
Bra.
Yeah.
Thong.
Yep.
High heels.
You know what? Negligee.
And asking to borrow a cup of sugar. I said, "F off, Dave. I've got to work in the morning." So you got you in, reeled you in beautifully, Ruth. You were sucked in.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
I have a joke.
Yes, what is it?